My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Third and 8 for the Lions from the 37 of Dallas. They lead this one 27-6. First drive, third quarter. There's the shotgun snap to Goff. Back, looking, throwing right side. Got a man out there.
Go,
J-Mo,
baby.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, baby. Goff with a rainbow. Williams hauls it in, and the Lions add to their lead.
Lions radio was having a field day yesterday, emptying the tank, tons of trick plays. They were just doing whatever they wanted to. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This was a highly anticipated game, Pearl, because last year it was such an exciting game. It came down to a couple boneheaded coaching decisions. This was not even anywhere in that stratosphere. Mm. This one was over almost before it started because the Cowboys didn't show up. The Lions were hell-bent on revenge. The Cowboys looked very soft yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have that problem. They can't stop the run. This was a terrible matchup for them. I do think that there was a sort of defeatist attitude from everybody about the Cowboys coming into this one. I don't think anyone thought they would be winning this game without Parsons.
I know
they can't stop the run.
They can't be thinking that way. If we think that way, it's one thing. It felt like they were reading their own obituaries out there.
And listen, I'm going to chalk this up. If I'm a Cowboys fan, everyone's like, the sky's falling. You're not going to see another team like the Lions. You're probably going to lose a bunch more games. Actually, you are in your next game. You are going to see a couple more teams like the Lions. Let me take that back.
Bye week and then
but
San Francisco.
I tell you, the NFC East is a different animal. Like, the Eagles do not look anything like this Detroit Lions team you just saw. The Giants do not look anything like this. Commanders a little bit. But even them, like, you never know with the Cowboys and the Commanders. So there's a chance at least you, well, I don't know what good it does you, but there's a chance you sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Like, think about what you just said. That's not about anything then that the Cowboys are doing well. You're just saying the rest of the division might be beatable, therefore they could get into the playoffs, which would mean absolutely nothing because they'll likely get smoked again, just like they have over the last 2 years.
You get in the playoffs with a running back who's slower than EJ coming off a patellar tendon injury. Like, that's something. I mean, it is incredible. If Dak Prescott turns it around and leads his team in the playoffs, it'll be his best job because the talent around this team has fallen off. There's just no doubt about it. They have no running back. They are more CeeDee Lamb dependent, and he's getting more depressed. And their defense without Parsons, Lawrence, Deron Bland is just like, forget it. They have no chance.
Okay, so they've got stars. They've got no depth. The crazy thing, though, about running backs, right, is you're right. You know, they don't have a great running back, and we brought this up in the offseason, and I feel like I remember you saying, like, oh, don't worry about that. You can find running backs anywhere.
I used to believe that.
And I watched someone like Tyrone Tracy out of Iowa/Purdue.
Oh, my God. He's better than Saquon Barkley.
Just go in and be effective for the Giants. And two, I know they lost this week, but, you know, runs all over the Seahawks, was effective last night. Dude was great.
What about the guy in San Francisco? Their fifth string back ran for 100 yards, Isaac Garendo.
It's like you can find running backs, but they can't.
And well, you can't pull running backs out of the retirement home in Zeke Elliott. But there's a combo factor. That O-line, and I'm just as guilty as anyone. I'm like, oh, my God, the Cowboys draft O-line so well. And maybe they do, but you can't have your center and your left tackle be a rookie. And I think we overlooked that. Do you think it's possible that we had too much faith in their ability to draft offensive linemen? At least I did.
Yeah, or maybe develop them. I mean, this has been the calling card of the Cowboys, is that they've been able to be great on the offensive line, and they were not yesterday. They totally got pushed around. And, you know, Aiden Hutchinson was the other headliner from this game, where he leaves on a cart with a broken tibia, like the bone from the knee down, and it looked really gruesome. And I think you don't believe that's going to hurt them at all.
No, I definitely will hurt them at all, but I still think they're the favorite in the NFC. I think it comes out of coaching, too. They would run through a wall for Dan Campbell. Obviously, Tom Brady mentioned they were going, like, if there was a loose ball in the fourth quarter, they were scrambling for it like it was a first quarter of a tied game. They were so into it. I think Ben Johnson's clearly, to me, the best play caller in football right now. And Aaron Glenn's a really good D coordinator. Like, they have everything in place. They have about 15 Pro Bowl players. I think if any team could survive the loss of a defensive player of the year candidate, it's the Lions.
Okay, but see, I think that's even more frustrating from the Cowboys' point of view. If you are somebody on the hot seat like Mike McCarthy, they have not extended you past this season, you should be coaching like your hair is on fire. Everybody should feel like their butts are on the line, because he has no assurances after this year. And I think maybe the opposite is happening. I wonder if guys are maybe tuning him out because, and I don't know, but it didn't look like a team that really wanted any part of that game yesterday.
Yeah, none.
And Jerry Jones, like, I would never even contemplate a coaching change. What would make you then? Even just to publicly put a coach on the hot seat to try to get a little more urgency going on. Like, to me, if you're going to be an owner who's going to talk after every game, GM owner, you know what I mean, and you're going to talk after every game, then make it have a purpose, you know? Because I don't think Cowboy fans want to hear the gibberish nonsense from Jerry. And yeah, he'll take accountability for it, and that's all fine, but he can't fire himself. So him taking accountability is kind of empty, don't you think? Because there's no thought that he would ever lose his job. So he can say, yeah, point the finger at me all you want. There's no consequences to him getting the finger pointed at him. He owns the team. He's rich as all. He's already in the Hall of Fame. So yeah, he'll say, yeah, point at me. And then what? So where are Cowboys fans left to turn there?
Well, I think there's
Graham act together.
Yeah, right.
Two key games coming up. They're 3-3 now. They'll probably lose to the Niners, go 3-4. But then they get the Falcons and the Eagles. To me, those are the defining games. I think they're going to be, it's at Atlanta, so it's indoors. For some reason, I have the sense that they might want to get out of Dallas. And maybe
they've lost every home game?
Yeah.
Is that what makes you think that?
So I get Atlanta and Philly, they really should beat this Philadelphia team. So those are two defining games. If they lose to Philly and they're out of it, then that's when I would really consider the act.
And think about this, right? I agree with you. I think those are really important games. But you are a team that used to feast on a home field advantage. And now, in the last four games that you've had, it was blowout loss to the Packers going back to last year. You've had two teams nearly drop 50 on you in your own building this season. And then the other loss was the Ravens, where you tried to make a furious comeback. And that was the time in the season where the Ravens were letting even the Raiders come back on them. So it's not like it was, you know, the score ended up being close, but we all said after that the score wasn't really indicative of how that game went. So, not a lot to hang your hat on.
They're pretty good at home under McCarthy. I think they were pretty bad at home under Garrett.
Well, so, they've been bad this year at home.
Yeah, I think generally, like, that has not been a consistent, crazy home field advantage. So, we'll see. I mean, honestly, the season, in a sense, hasn't really started in the NFC East because none of these teams have played each other. The litmus test will be, does Jaden Daniels go for 50 on them? If that was to Washington, then we'd be talking about something different. They're going to get Parsons back. They're going to get Deron Bland back soon. They're going to be a different team. I'm telling you, Cowboys fans, you just have to put your head up. There's a real chance you get to 8-9 or 9-8.
Wow. I'm sure they can't wait. I mean,
good after you lose 47-9. If I could guarantee you 9-8 right now, Maggie.
I don't know. Put Micah Parsons, put DeMarcus Lawrence back on the field. Deron Bland back out there. I've seen them lose this game 100 different ways with all those guys fully healthy.
This game, definitely.
This type of game, yeah.
But they definitely usually beat the Giants and the Commanders. Right now, that's where we're at. I mean, come on. Forget beating a team like the Lions. Forget beating the Niners. You have to beat those bad teams. That's one thing Dak has always been able to do. That's why he got $60 million. I was also curious. Do you think that $60 million sort of gutted the team a little bit? Like, I don't know. Do you think there's some resentment out there?
Listen, they needed him last week. He was one of the reasons they actually won that game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't feel like they're all rallying around their quarterback.
Doesn't seem that way. 855-212-4227. Yeah, I'm sure CeeDee Lamb's going to have some fun things to say this week. Anyway, let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, well, we've done the Lions-Cowboys, I think, properly. So, EJ, what's our first game to break down?
Let's go across the pond. The Bears beat the Jags 35-16, 4 TD passes for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, everything working for Caleb Williams, Perloff. But, again, it's been against the Rams defense, the Panthers defense, and now the Jaguars defense. So, I don't know if it's a proper and accurate way to assess Caleb, yeah. But there's no doubt he looks great.
All I want to talk about is, can they fire Doug Peterson while they're stuck in London for a week? That would be the most amazing thing ever. You can't, right? Like, the Jags cannot fire their coach and then just hang out and go shopping all week in London.
I mean, it'd be kind of funny if they fired him and then they came back to the United States and were just like, who's Doug Peterson? Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's always been Press Taylor or whoever. I don't even know another coach it could be on there to elevate.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think, is Mike McCoy there, the former Chargers coach? We looked at this the other day. Anyway, I think Peterson would be a very, very dangerous day for him if they weren't in London. I think that was a fireball game. Their defense stinks. Also, can the Cowboys trade for Travis Etienne, please?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Apparently, he's week to week, according to Doug Peterson, just literally a couple minutes ago.
Oh, boy.
Packers-Cardinals. Packers win 34-13, 4 TDs for Jordan Love.
I think the Packers look awesome. And even though that game got interesting in moments where the Cardinals looked like they were going to make it close, I feel like Jordan Love is, who's he remind you of? I'll tell you who he reminds me of. He looks like Aaron Rodgers. The dude throws like Aaron Rodgers. His touchdown passes are so gorgeous. And now Romeo Doubs back in the mix after, I think that suspension did him wonders. He looked awesome. I'm really into this team. They're like 1B for behind the Lions to me.
Yeah, spreading out the targets looked good. I mean, I think Arizona, was this like a schedule loss? Like, you know, like the Arizona Cardinals team playing in Green Bay, even without snow, was this just always going to be this way?
Yeah.
A team like the Cardinals, can, like, are they not nearly talented enough to take their show on the road? And honestly, Green Bay defense keeping them scoreless in the fourth quarter, that's like the missing thing here for the Packers. That defense that could close out a game.
How about, let's go to Tennessee. Colts get a road division win over the Titans, 20-17.
Can I just say, I'm very mad if I'm a Titans fan.
Why?
Because you were told that Anthony Richardson was playing for the Colts. And then who shows up? Joe Flacco.
Superman himself.
That's false advertising. Like, we had a chance until Flacco decided to show up. I watched a lot of Red Zone on Sunday, and it kept going to that game. I'm like, I can't believe this game is still happening. Like, that was, it's not an important game. I don't think either team is that great. But the fact that you were promised Anthony Richardson and then you had to deal with the old gunslinger, Joe Flacco, is unfair.
You're 100% right. Anthony Richardson, you're like, maybe you have a chance. Joe Flacco, you do not have a chance. He will win 10 points in the fourth quarter for the Colts on the road. I just think it's funny because, EJ, you're very smart about football and sports and all that, and you love the Titans. And I thought you were going to own this take. And it's like, oh, EJ was there before anyone else was there, but they've just not been good.
Yeah, Will Levis has been the fork in, or the, you know, the thorn in my side in this take.
They would have won that game with Mason Rudolph. They definitely. First of all, they almost won that game anyway.
I know. Why don't they put Rudolph in?
They've been in, I think, almost every game they've played. Like, it's not, they're not getting blown out. It's just their quarterback is not making winning plays and gives them no chance. Should have realized that. Let's go to New England. Drake May made his debut and threw 3 touchdowns, but it was not enough in a 20-point loss to the Texans, 41-21 Houston.
Got to be happy about this if you're a Patriots fan. May looked like he's legit. Did I see? I had this stat about the 40-yard touchdown was like the longest. I think it was his first career touchdown pass to Kayshon Boutte. The 40 yards traveled 51.7 yards in the air. The longest completion by a Patriots quarterback over the last three seasons. Whoa. And for the Texans, this is just business, like business as usual. I was hoping that maybe Case would get in the game, but they didn't go to Case.
Case is third string, I think.
Yeah.
Behind the Stanford kid. Drake May, first QB since 1950 to throw three passing TDs and lead his team in rushing yards since 1950. That's pretty good. One thing about Drake May, he should start from week one. That was obvious to me. Like, maybe they'd have three wins because they're not playing for a quarterback next year, so you might as well try as many wins as you can. I don't get it. I think Jerod Mayo's in trouble because he does not look like he has a clue to me.
We don't talk about the Texans enough.
Well, that game is hard to... I mean, we got to see them play...
Well, they're at the Packers next week.
Yeah, yeah. We will talk about the Texans. Having Mixon back is nice.
Who's next?
Let's go to New Orleans, one of the weirdest games you'll see all year. 51-27 Tampa Bay.
I thought that Spencer Rattler was going to really make this thing super interesting, and he was like a balloon that sort of kept deflating during the game, and by the end, he was just out of air. Or something, or maybe just credit the Bucs defense for, you know, rattling him a little bit. This was a much needed win. I know there was a lot of talk after this of, you know, this is for everyone back home devastated by those hurricanes. I know this is a small thing, but maybe just be, you know, enjoy a win. Five minutes out of your day, get a little distraction.
I'm a little curious about, I thought Dennis Allen, the Saints defense, was good. They let up 300 rushing yards. Like, now I wonder if he's going to get fired soon, too. I'm not sure they win many more games. I'd go that. I think so. Olave, I think, is done. Like, I think if he comes back, I don't think he's going to be the same player. That was vicious. So I don't know what you're playing for. I would just go Rattler and see what you got.
Can I give you what about Baker Mayfield Offensive Player of the Year? Because I don't think he's going to get in the MVP conversation. But
threw a lot of picks yesterday.
Yeah, but he threw four touchdowns.
Yeah. Feeling like an old Tampa Bay quarterback, Jameis Winston. That's for sure.
Four touchdowns, three picks. That's very Jameis.
Let's go to Philly. The fighting Nick Sirianni's. Eat your heart out, Eagles fans. Eagles win 2016 over the Browns.
I think that was as close as you can humanly get to winning a game and feeling like you lost 47-9. How they cannot put away that Browns team. First of all, Browns have one weapon. It's called Myles Garrett blocking field goals. So if you don't, first of all, your special teams coach should hit the road after that one. That was pathetic. The whole team stinks, but having A.J. Brown back is unbelievable for the Eagles. Like, I didn't realize how much we missed him. I basically remember that take where I said wide receivers are generic. He is not generic for that team. He makes Jalen Hurts go. He is their best offensive player. What happened to Saquon Barkley being good, by the way? Remember that story from about a month ago?
This is the Saquon experience, feast or famine.
Well, he's just average now. I feel like he's just like, he might as well be Kenneth Gainwell. He just doesn't feel explosive. The defense is a little better, but who knows? Deshaun's terrible.
Yeah, I was just surprised that your offense still looks this disjointed. And by the way, Perloff saying that wide receivers are generic and wide receivers are the new running back was a take he said the day that the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown. And all you've done since is go to a Super Bowl. And he makes you better. Who's next?
Okay, let's go to the DMV where the Ravens beat the Commanders 30-23. A nice shootout between Lamar and Jaden Daniels.
You know, I thought this was actually more impressive for Daniels to be able to hold on with the Ravens, but I'm slowly coming to this realization that the Ravens' defense is not good. So how are they going to win a Super Bowl if their defense isn't good? Or is this one of those things, Perloff, where they'll find it? Like, they're the Ravens.
They're young. They always have to put together a new defense almost every year. They obviously have big names, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey.
Totally.
I worry the same thing. Like, can you be mediocre on defense and win the Super Bowl? Because that's your only goal right now. That's the only thing we're talking about with the Ravens. Anything short of Super Bowl victory doesn't even matter to me.
Seeing a lot of Lamar MVP talk again.
I don't think they can do it.
Do you give him a third MVP when he's never even been to the Super Bowl? That feels tough.
I mean, what does he have to do statistically? I mean, it's not going to be... There's a bunch of quarterbacks that have like perfect ratings, like Goff, Burrow. All these guys are perfect statistically. So I don't think Lamar can do any. Do you think there's any chance?
No.
Also, how about Derrick Henry, man? Just start giving him the ball. If he gets a lot of yards, make him Offensive Player of the Year.
Let's go to the 4 o'clock window. Let's go to Denver. The Chargers beat the Broncos 23-16 despite a health scare from their head coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, that was weird. And even John left his press conference immediately. So that made me think, okay, Jim's obviously got something that they know about, right? Some kind of pre-existing condition. I'm assuming the altitude may have had something to do about that. And then, you know, that's tough because you're in the division now with Denver. But anyway, the one thing I'm impressed about here is that I've seen this version of this of a Chargers losing this game a lot. The Chargers charging, they're not doing that. And I know the Broncos are not a good team, but they are 3-3, so they're not god-awful. And I thought the Chargers hanging on to win this game on the road was actually, I was like, baby steps here. Justin Herbert looks healthier.
They were up with 23-0 with 6 minutes left in the game.
I know. Well, the Broncos scored 16 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I know, but they basically, yeah, they hit a field goal. They did the, we're down 10. We have a choice. We go field goal or touchdown. They went field goal. So they needed an onside kick.
Yep.
I think the Broncos are one of the worst teams in the league. And I find it interesting. Sean Payton goes three quarters, no points at all. He's getting paid $18 million a year, and he's an offensive coach.
I know.
This is not good. I'd be surprised if they win a lot of games. They're definitely one of the worst. I'd say one of the bottom six teams in the league.
Also, that Cortland Sutton touchdown. I don't even know if that really was a touchdown. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Great catch, but
amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if that was actually legal. Let's go to Las Vegas. The uniforms were iconic, but this was not Jack Tatum and Mean Joan Green out there. Steelers beat the Raiders 32-13.
I came away, by the way, asking the same thing. I'm like, huh, you know, Justin Fields looks good on some plays, but I don't know. There was nothing in that game. You couldn't possibly have done anything against that Raiders team to prove that you are a long-term answer quarterback. So maybe you fend off Russell Wilson, but still, that was such a bad team they were going against, and it's hard to tell.
I'm wondering for the Raiders, like, when do you start the fire sale, if ever? Like, are you going to be smart and actually try to get some draft capital for the future, or are you going to pretend like you're going to be a contender this year and ultimately do the worst thing for your franchise, not the better thing for your franchise? As far as the Steelers, it's Fields' job now. I mean, how do you go back to Wilson if he's not? If Fields is hurt, okay, but if he's not, there's no way Russell Wilson can take this job. Not because Fields is amazing, but you're 4-2. You're winning on the road in convincing fashion against anybody. It's his job.
I'm not sure I see it that way. What if he has one bad game? I think they're going to go right to Russ. Like, bad game. I mean, he was pretty bad yesterday. I mean, all in all.
I think a bad game doesn't immediately bench him, but we can talk about that.
I think after the Cowboys game, people were already out on him. Like, it's hard to tell. I mean, what did he do yesterday? Did he complete any passes whatsoever? I watched some of that game. It was really just muckety muck. Yeah, I think he's one bad game away from hitting the bench. Say, okay, who do they have next? They have the Jets. Say he has a terrible game. You don't think they would try Russ? Their offense is not good passing it.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, spot the lie.
47-9 in Jerry World for the Lions over the Cowboys.
Yeah, we've talked about this one a lot. You know, real gutless performance here by the Cowboys. Major soul searching to do in the bye week if they want to hold on to the season at all. Because it doesn't matter if that was the Lions on the other side, Perloff, or anyone. To me, the Cowboys didn't show up in this game.
Oh, absolutely not. You're absolutely right about that. But is there a more likable team than the Lions? Is there a more exciting player than Jahmyr Gibbs? Is there a more fun player than Amon-Ra St. Brown? Even Penei Sewell, their right tackle, is like a highlight machine. Everything about it, there are so many different ways. My only concern is Jared Goff, if you ever get him outdoors. He's the only one that can hold this offense back. Otherwise, they're like the 99 Rams, the 2007 Patriots. They have everything.
Aiden Hutchinson emergency surgery after the game, so we're hoping for an up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Date on his broken tibia soon.
Last one, the 4 o'clock window. Falcons go undefeated in division, beating the Panthers 38-20.
I'm going to be honest. This was like the fourth of the four games that I was watching in the afternoon window, and I just couldn't understand how this game stayed so close, Perla.
What do you mean?
Like, the Falcons didn't pull away until really late in this game. It was a one-score game, it felt like, for a lot of it.
Yeah, I thought
most
that
of the day.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Panthers' defense is just awful. But the Falcons are not really explosive. They're more of a kind of beat you with paper cuts kind of team. I think that's why, like, they don't, I have to look at the stats, they don't have a lot of, like, gigantic splash plays.
Which is funny because they've got all these weapons.
Right, but you think about Kirk Cousins and his style. He's not chuck at 60 yards downfield. He's more find the guy in the seam. And they still want to use Bijan Robinson. I think Atlanta looks really good.
Yeah, well, the running attack, Tyler Algier, Bijan Robinson, 200 yards between both of them.
Yeah, Jesse Bates. Oof.
I know.
He's great.
Favorite player in the league. All right, last one. Cincinnati Bengals beat the Giants at MetLife 17-7 on Sunday Night Football.
I got to be honest, I'm still really disappointed by the Bengals. I know that they won this game and the defense looked much, much better, even though they gave up a couple long drives to the Giants, but it's like, all right, now the defense is working, but now the offense isn't doing anything. And I was just disappointed by the amount of three and outs, quick outs. There was a lot of this game where Cincinnati's offense looked really toothless.
Yeah, but are you worried about that moving forward? See, my bigger concern is their defense. Once they play a real team, like, they have one play. They're the most one. Them and the Steelers are the most one-player teams I've ever seen. Trey Hendrickson is the entire defense. Like, name another defensive player on that team. I mean, he's the only guy who ever gets called out. He's the only guy who ever disrupts anything. The Giants actually moved the ball a lot last night.
Yeah, well, they were talking
about the Giants.
Sheldon Rankins and B.J. Hill as the two interior linemen who came back and definitely made a difference. I mean, the defense was better. But yeah, you're right. The Giants did move the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just Daniel Jones' mistakes and not being able to convert on a fourth down. And then also, let's be fair, as we got to go to break, but
yeah.
If the Giants had a competent kicking game, they maybe have two more wins.
Yeah, the Giants had a lot more plays than the Bengals. They had 74 plays to the Bengals, 52. The Giants had a 16-play drive, an 11-play drive, but maybe the Bengals were playing bend, don't break. I wouldn't judge anything on that game. The Bengals are... they're 2-4. They have a great chance to go 4-4, and then we'll evaluate them.
Maggie and Perloff, 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think about your favorite team. Coming up, we go back to college next. Welcome back. Perloff, you just had an interesting stat from Dan Duggan in The Athletic.
Yeah, the Giants haven't allowed more than 21 points in a game, and they're 2-4. So it makes me wonder, what is Daniel Jones exactly doing for this team? Why not go to Tommy Cutlets? Because honestly, like, I watched the Giants play the Bengals last night. There were so many plays that were in front of him, and he just doesn't see the field at all. And when he also, too, he doesn't feel the pressure. Like, it's the little things. Like, he looks like a good quarterback, but the actual things, like manipulating the pocket. And I'm going to use a college example. Like, Dylan Gabriel kind of knew where everybody was on every play. Daniel Jones has no idea where anyone is.
Yeah, he missed Tracy a couple times in the flat. He got criticized for it on the broadcast. Like, hey, you just got to get rid of the ball. I also think that he has always been able to use his legs. Now, he'll get hurt, but he will use his legs. But I don't know if he's as fast as he used to be.
He is slow. He looks like Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, a couple ACL injuries, and that's going to happen to you. So I wonder if maybe he's still getting used to, like, oh, gosh, my body can't do what it used to do. Pat Boyle is here with headlines for us on this wonderful Monday morning. Pat?
Hey, what's going on? Sorry, I was just looking at the Giants' schedule. He said they haven't given up more than 21 points in any game.
That's what Dan Dugan said.
No, they gave up 28 week one in Minnesota. Since then, they haven't given up more than 21.
I guess there was a pick six in that game, though, so maybe he's saying just pure defense.
Oh, the defense has not...
Yeah, probably the defense. Yeah,
remember that terrible Daniel Jones?
Yes. Well, hey, it happened to Aaron Rodgers as well. Mr. Van Ginkle and his beautiful blonde hair.
Oh, yeah, twice. One pick six, but how many... Was there three picks in that game? For Rodgers
against
the Vikings.
Six Rodgers, like, and he pick six Daniel Jones.
I think all of his interceptions, I think, are pick sixes for his career. He's a weird thing with pick sixes. Yeah. His stats.
Yeah, right. The sentence was the Giants defense hasn't allowed more. That feels a little disingenuous, Dan.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, that defense looked good last night.
Well, no Kayvon
Thibodeau. Without
Thibodeau,
yeah.
He's, I mean, Dexter Lawrence is unreal. And Brian Burns, that... Yeah. You know, we clown Joe Shane for how silly they look for the Saquon Barkley stuff, but the Brian Burns trade was...
Yeah.
And the Shane Bowen DC hire might be one of the best coordinator hires we had.
Except what happened, like, they were playing good defense last night up until Chase Brown just seized parted and he just went right for the touchdown.
Felt like the Bengals fell like turtled up on offense. They're like, they started going three possessions, running the ball, just killing clock. By the way, can we call Brian Burns by his nickname, please?
Spider-Man.
That we just found out during Hard Knocks. Did you guys know he was Spider-Man?
No.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew. They're like, here comes the Spider-Man's coming back to New York. We're like, what?
Didn't know that one.
Yeah,
before
Brian Burns
the Hard Knocks
Spider-Man.
Episode, I had never...
Right, they had like posters and stuff.
I guess that's what happens when you play in obscurity in Carolina.
Yeah.
When the team hasn't been relevant in a while. But
I don't know if he's earned Spider-Man, by the way. He's really good. That's a good nickname for a guy who's never won more than like 32% of his games.
I think he has to be a little more dominant.
Sunday night he looked like Spider-Man.
He's a very good player. I mean, the only other Spider-Man we have in sports is Donovan Mitchell, who's like a perennial all-star. Like, I mean, Burns is very good. I don't know.
From a comic book fan, I mean, I think EJ is the expert here.
I'm trying to think of other pass rushers. We have Mad Max, Crosby. What's Miles Garrett? Helmet Man?
Dinosaur Jr. I don't know. Dinosaurs.
Helmet Man.
What's TJ Watt? He doesn't have a nickname either.
Well, Psycho. JJ did, but not DJ.
TJ Watt's nickname is Psychopath.
What is JJ's nickname?
JJ SWAT.
What?
Yes, that was a thing. JJ SWAT. Yeah, because he always batted the ball down.
That was Chris Berman gave him JJ SWAT.
JJ SWAT?
JJ SWAT.
That being said, like, was that like, oh my God, JJ SWAT with another sack? I don't know.
Only when he swatted the ball down did it. I mean, there was a Monday night game where Mark Sanchez, I think, just threw the ball into his arms like 10 times. And I kept thinking was JJ SWAT. I'll never forget that game. That was crazy.
I saw something, by the way, yesterday. Somebody said Mark Sanchez looks like the villain from Kindergarten Cop, and now I can't stop seeing him.
Yeah.
The slick back hair in the man bun.
He looks like he's also from the show I watched growing up, Fairly Odd Parents. He looks like the muscular fairy, Wandissimo, with like the slick back man bun or whatever he's got going on.
He does look like a 90s villain.
Yeah. Okay. Just to hit on two other things from yesterday's week six that we haven't gotten to yet. It was a blowout for three quarters. Then it became close, including a near onside kick recovery for the Broncos. But the Chargers did beat them 23-16. They were up 23-0 after three quarters in this game. I heard you guys briefly touch on it, but head coach Jim Harbaugh left the game in the first half, went to the locker room before returning, but he had an irregular heartbeat in this game and was treated by the medical team. Said it's happened before in a game in 2012. Here he was talking about it after the win.
Yeah, everything turned out to be okay. I deal with this, minor, it's called atrial flutter, and I got into an episode today with it, and then doctors checked me out, and It got back into sinus rhythm, normal rhythm. So came back.
That's pretty worrying.
I don't know what the remedy is for that. Did the doctors give him something? Like
eventually a pacemaker, I imagine.
That's what I would,
right.
I would
Aaron Boone is one of those, the Yankees manager. But in the moment, like, is there something you can give him? Because how did they feel so confident that he could go out on the sidelines and be okay?
Just a fresh pair of khaki pants and he's good to go.
Wow, that was the other.
Better than him.
That was the other rumor, that it was more of a gastrointestinal.
Well, that's what I think most people would think at first. How many times you guys ever had to, during a show, take a little run down the bathroom?
No, I think, though, when you're actually playing, like, your body's moving around a lot more, you're more likely to have that kind of stomach issue. During a show, I never have it.
I don't know if ever pitching in a game, if I've ever felt it, but in a game where I wasn't playing, absolutely. I mean, that's easy, too.
Bobby Hurley, remember that one?
No.
Bobby Hurley famously left a title game and came back without his undershorts.
Wow.
You guys don't know this story?
No.
Was wearing compression shorts, and he left in the middle of the first quarter and then came back basically without his compression shorts.
Well, listen, Paul Pierce really takes the cake on this one. I mean, when you leave in a wheelchair, like the ruse is, you really, really trying to cover your tracks.
I mean, he's stands by that he had no bathroom incident. Like, he swears by it, but I mean, he's just really living the bit on that one.
I mean, Lamar Jackson has one.
Yeah,
obviously. Yes. Pat, I'm a woman. I don't go to the bathroom.
No,
wait, Lamar has one? I didn't know. Oh, right, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, when
he was duck walking into the or whatever.
That was in a playoff game, wasn't it? Or was right near the end of the season?
It was a Monday night game, but I can't remember. Season,
and I feel like he's had several of the stomach issues in games.
I can't wait. By the way, the Chargers, everybody, did Quentin Johnson go to the locker room? Like, they're so hurt.
I think he came, him and Ladd McConkey, and I think they both returned, if I'm not mistaken.
But McConkey had a concussion, right?
So no, that's, he was evaluated, and then I'm pretty sure he came back.
But
he had like three catches, and I remember him being ruled questionable like on the first drive of the game.
Yeah, you could see the concussion happen in real time, and now everybody gets back in with a concussion. But they're going to limp in the playoffs because their schedule's so bad, and I'm betting against, if I could bet against them in the wild card game right now, I would.
Apologies for the bizarre question, but shouldn't there just be portable bathrooms on the field? Like, why would you need some? Why are all these guys running into the tunnel?
Oh, like a porta potty?
Yeah,
be too obvious. Like, the whole crowd's watching you and like timing you in there.
Yeah, who cares?
I think there's been guys who just pee right there.
Right, we see guys.
Oh, that happens all the time. Yeah,
throw up. Like, we see that's worse to me than seeing a guy go to the restroom. That's normal.
What if this happened? What if you had a Port-a-John on the sideline, and then there's one of those plays where it kind of gets carried out of bounds, and all of a sudden you knock one over?
Oh, well.
You'd have to stop the game. It's a biohazard.
Great point. If someone's in there.
So you don't want to talk about Aiden Hutchinson's injury, but you want to give me that image. Thank you, Maggie.
You're welcome.
In the early window, the Packers slaughtered the Cardinals 34-13. Jordan Love threw for 258 yards and four touchdowns. One of his receivers, Romeo Doubs, three catches for 49 yards and two of those TDs. This is a week after he got suspended for missing two consecutive days of practices and meetings. Here was Jordan Love on Doubs.
Yeah, it's huge. Just having Rome back out there on the field was awesome. It was huge. And, you know, he went out there and made some big-time plays with the two touchdown catches and some more plays before that. But, you know, it's awesome to have Rome back out there.
So that's nice. You can miss two practices, complain, get suspended, come back, two touchdowns. If you're George Pickens, complain and still don't get thrown the football.
Well, to give Doubs credit, one was just pure Doubs. That pop-up that he pushed the defender out of the way, that was a beautiful
play. Yeah, that was an awesome catch.
Yeah, I think that I hate to say it, but I feel like what the Packers did worked. They inspired this guy to be his best self.
Or I think maybe, hopefully, either he had a wake-up call or someone around him said, like, you're going to blow it. This is, you know, don't make it about you when this team could be a great team.
LaFleur seems to have a good handle on this. Because remember, he suspended the DB last year, the corner, the star corner.
Jair.
Remember, he went to do the coin toss when he wasn't supposed to.
Yes.
And he just suspended his ass. He was like, you're not playing, McSam. And, you know, with Jair, he's a little bit of a wild boy. We didn't know how he was going to act in the playoffs. He was awesome. So he seems to have a handle on these kind of things.
Yeah. MLB postseason, Dodgers crushed the Mets last night in Game 1 of the NLCS, 9-0 at Chavez Ravine. Jack Flaherty twirled 7 shutout innings. And Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman combined for 5 hits and 5 RBIs. Quick turnaround today for Game 2, bullpen game for Dave Roberts. Mets counter with Sean Manaea. First pitch 1:08 local time in Los Angeles. And then Yanks and Guardians Game 1 ALCS at Yankee Stadium at 7:38 Eastern. And of course, tonight, Maggie, your Bills, 1-point favorites now tonight at MetLife Stadium against the new-look Jets. Robert Saleh fired last week. Defense coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, the interim head coach, Nate Hackett, the OC, demoted, clipboard taken away from him. Todd Downing, the new play caller for the Jets. Why don't we hear from Todd Downing? He was asked about the largely uninspiring performances from the future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers, along with the ankle sprain and the hamstring injury he's nursing. Here's Downing. He's not worried.
In a two-decade career, he has very few blips on the radar. And I know that Aaron himself has said that the last couple of weeks aren't up to his standard, but that does not necessarily sound an alarm.
Kickoff in Jersey at 8:15 Eastern.
If I'm the Jets, I'm running at you, Maggie Gray.
Yeah.
I'm running at a lot of you guys. Are you afraid of that?
Yes. Yes. It's the only thing I'm afraid of, yeah, to be quite honest.
Not yes. Rodgers.
You know, Rodgers, I'm sure, will have his moments, yeah, because they should also throw on the Bills. But you can run on this team, and the defense is all banged up. I was saying this to Pat in the break. I just also don't think there's an emotional part of this where the Jets probably really feel like they need to win this game because of the firing and all that. I don't think the Bills are thinking that way. You know, they lose this game. They go to 3-3. You've got some quote-unquote easier games coming up. I don't think they're seeing this as a must-win for the division. They're going to split with the Jets.
Well, who's playing tonight? Is Khalil Shakir playing? I mean,
I doubt it. I don't know the final injury.
I mean, like, that's the other question. Like, it's important. Like, do you, if your guy is questionable, are you going to put him out there? That's the big question, I think, is you're right. But it's funny you say that, because I thought 3-3 would be like the sky is falling in Buffalo.
No, I mean, you knew this was going to be a tough stretch.
Yeah.
These are three road games. You played against the Ravens, the Texans, and then now the Jets, who you split with even when Zach Wilson was the quarterback. So Ed Oliver is out. That's not good. Questionable is James Cook, Khalil Shakir, Taron Johnson, their cornerback.
He's missed the last couple of games, right?
And they've noticed it.
Rapp's going to play.
Rapp will play. But again, like...
Well, who's the linebacking crew? Is Bernard?
Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, and Nick Morrow.
So Terrell Bernard is healthy.
He will play, but he's definitely not 100%. this is a MASH unit.
Well, Baylen Specter, a kid from Clemson, hasn't done a bad job.
Yeah.
But this is a different type of thing. Daquan Jones, the defensive tackle from my hometown, his shoulder's all banged up.
But you're the Jets. The Jets have just as many issues, though, aren't they? All, like, limping around?
C.J. Mosley questionable, and their slot corner Michael Carter's out.
Yeah, but Rodgers, I mean,
oh, yeah.
What are you going to get? It's night. It's a little chilly.
It feels
tonight.
Like the Jets run the ball 38 yeah. times tonight.
Easy. And they'll have 200 yards on the ground.
Yeah, but it feel like the counter would be the Bills to run it just as much.
Yeah, I know, but James Cook is hurt. So yeah. You're going to give it to Ray Davis, a rookie? He's just begging to cough the ball. Great story. Love the story. Went from being homeless and now this. This is awesome, but I'm worried.
So bet the under is what you're saying.
Probably.
40 and a half.
What is it?
Oh, the
40 and a half.
Darn.
It's pretty low.
Can't they give us some higher unders?
No,
you got one. Yeah, they the Bengals money, and the Giants. Bengals under finally hit.
Well, I know. The Steelers Raiders was 36 and a half. Did they make that?
Yeah, it was 32-13. Steelers and almost then, got it by themselves.
And I know the Bengals, the Chargers-Broncos was 35 and a half. I was like, how could this? I actually came into it. I said to Maggie, how could this line be 35 and a half? You have Justin Herbert. Then I watched 5 minutes of the game. I'm like, oh.
All right.
Yeah, Bo Nix.
Pat, thank you so much. Coming up, we will make some picks for tonight, but also the one person who is feeling it this morning. Look over your shoulder, pal. Do that next. All right, got a Monday Night Football game tonight. Big one. Bills visiting the Jets. I have also quite a few responses to a question I asked on social media. I said, I need some help. My kid is about to lose his first tooth. Perloff says the going rate is $20 for the first tooth. Is that right? And Pearl, a lot of people agree with you. John Marks, our pal in Philadelphia, says 20 for the first tooth is the going rate in his house. Dane Brugler, the Athletics lead draft analyst, says $5 for the first tooth, $1 for each additional tooth, and many other responses.
We also have a poll question up as well, by the way.
How are those responses looking?
So we did how much, we didn't do first tooth. We did how much should the tooth fairy, in quotation marks, give your kids for losing a tooth? $1 got 21%. $1 to $5 got 49%. $5 to $10 got 21%. And $20 got 8%.
Interesting.
8% is not bad considering...
I read a story about it. New York Post says $20 has become the national standard for first tooth.
I'm and blown that's away by this.
Yeah.
I did not think you were going to say $20. I got $1 as a kid. $1. And I felt like that was fine. Now, granted, it was.
What's interesting, you guys were saying, though, is I feel like I got more money as I got older. You were saying you get less money. Hmm. But I think my parents, because they assumed I'd actually spend it more quickly.
Mm.
They, like, I might have started with, like, a dollar. And then I went up to, like, 5 or 10. My parents would remember better than me, but.
My kid's 5 years old. He could barely wipe his own butt. I mean, what is he spending the money on?
Delta Dental reports the national average is $5.36. So that's, I think a 20 for the first sounds really standard. And by the way, in my neighborhood, it's like 50.
That's crazy. Ryan is in Pearl River, wants to talk about tonight. Two big games in the New York area. You got the Jets hosting the Bills Monday Night Football, and you've got Yankees game one of the ALCS against Cleveland. Hey, Ryan.
All right, and you also got the Rangers tonight, too. Listen, this show is great. I love it. I'm a big Jet fan. I was just hoping that they would wait till after the election to fire the Jet coach because I wanted terrible Timmy Tampom to be the coach. I mean, Timmy went out there and up.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm pausing that for a second. What did he say? Terrible Timmy. Did he say Tampon?
Sorry, I missed that.
Can I say that word? I mean,
why would you not be able to say that word?
I think I can say that word.
Yeah, I hope so. I guess it's being used in a derogatory term. Yeah. I'm not sure who he's talking about.
I don't get that one. Ryan, but you had an interesting question, Perloff.
If you were, there's a couple New York fans across the glass. If you had tickets, your season ticket holder for Yankees and Jets, and you, what would you do tonight?
By the way, if you're a season ticket holder for the Yankees and the Jets, you're definitely giving your kid $20 a tooth because you are rolling in it.
It's a bargain. you could afford Yankees and Jets.
There's 75,000 Jets fans. I mean, there are only 8 Jets games. Like, there's a lot. In the NFL, there are a lot of season ticket holders because you only have 8 games and, I guess, a preseason game.
To me, there's no way you go to this Jets game.
You have to go to the playoff game.
Well, yeah, but you could say you, in this hypothetical, you have tickets to game two with the Yankees. So why don't you sell the Yankees tickets? Because you're so few home NFL games.
Also, you can get to see Garrett Cole game two because it's Rodon tonight, right?
Yeah, so. Rodon's tonight. I just feel like, to me, it's early in the season for the Jets. Monday nights kind of suck.
Oh, my God. The party of Monday night games are awesome. The food is amazing.
Right, but you gotta talk about getting home or getting wherever you're gonna go. Like, that's the travel is probably worse for somebody who's, if you got Giants and Jets. I'm assuming you live in New York because if you're, well, I don't think you're in Jersey driving. Oh, maybe you are.
No, definitely
Yankee Stadium. I guess you could.
I just feel like you're right. Your geography depends on it, makes the decision for you.
Probably.
It's just so funny, EJ. You're like, you know, one of the youngest people we know around here, and you're like, oh, getting home.
She's a beast.
I get
think about
it.
That at all. I don't care.
We wake up early. I just want to be there. Yeah, Nick wouldn't care.
I mean, there last night. He was at the Giant game last night.
I was at the Giant game last night.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm on like an hour and a half sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
I think Yankee fans should feel like we got 8 more of these, though. You know, like, have a little faith that you're going to be around
Andrew,
a little longer.
The ticket guy. You can hook us up with the Yankee tickets tonight?
I'm the ticket guy?
Yeah. Remember people asking you Eagles tickets?
They were asking me for Yankee tickets. I've asked for tickets once in this. Job was supposed to be one of the perks you get tickets. They put me at, like, the top of Citi Field, and I'm never asking for tickets around here.
I think somebody knew you caught wind you were a Phillies fan. That's why.
I don't know.
Thank you, E.G. Stewart. Thank you, Nick Theodore. Thank you to Pat Boyle, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos and Coffee Drinkers.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.